for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Friday morning service, November the 28th, 1997, of the Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Bob Trench is the speaker for the morning.
About Brother Trench is going to come and minister this morning. And we met the Trenches over 25 years ago. I really don't know where. I know where, but I don't know when. At a full gospel convention is where we met them, over 25 years ago. And then one time when South Africa was a different nation than it is today, we had the privilege one time of having five of the members of the South African government as guests at our house. We had the head of transportation, the head of education, and I can't remember who the rest of them were, but they all came, and we had ice cream and strawberries and cake and a praise and worship service. And they were all spirit-filled and praising the Lord. We had a wonderful time. But those days are not the same in South Africa anymore. But it's a privilege for Bob and Thelma to come and bless us from time to time as they come to the States and put us on their agenda, and we appreciate it. And Brother Bob, come and minister. He hasn't felt too good. He went to Colorado the other day and got there in the middle of that blizzard, and to come from South Africa to Colorado into a blizzard, it just wasn't the thing he was looking for. But the Lord's raising him up and strengthening him. Amen.
Thank you. Can you hear me at the back? The last place I went to, I said, can you hear me at the back? And they all said no. And the fellows in the front got up and went and sat at the back. I was enjoying the singing, but there was a little thread in, I don't know if you noticed, all about the glory of the Lord. And I thought perhaps I should just pick up on that a little bit.
Amen.
I'm going to read from chapter 7 of Matthew's Gospel, and I'm speaking with a cough lozenge in my mouth. So if I sound like Robert here, that's just the cough lozenge that does it, all right? Chapter 17, verse 1 reads like this. 17 of Matthew, 1:7, all right?
Amen.
I'll try and speak slowly because of the accent difficulty. By the time I've been here a month, I'm speaking just like you all, but it takes a little while to get there, all right? And after 6 days, wherever you see the number 6, it's quite interesting. In other words, it refers to the number of man. In other words, after 6 days, it's almost as if Jesus said, now I want to take you out of the flesh and put you in the spirit. I want you to see something with your spiritual eye. The Zulus have an expression for a Jaguar motor car which has 4 sets of headlights. They call it E4 eyes. And they like a 4 eyes. And every Christian in some way has 4 eyes. You have your natural pair of eyes, but you ought to also have spiritual eyes. Because unless you can see in the spirit, you're going to miss a great deal of what God's got in store for us. So after these 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brings them up into a high mountain apart. In other words, what he was doing here, he said, now I know a place where we can go, where this will help you not to see with a natural eye, but to see with the spiritual eye.
Amen.
And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Can you imagine the surprise to these 3 disciples? Jesus said, I just want to show you fellas something, just come with me. And it appears they didn't go too far, and suddenly, just like that, they saw something they'd never seen before. The same thing can happen to anybody who's willing in this room. You don't have to go too far. In fact, you don't have to leave your seat. All you got to do is move from the natural realm into the spiritual realm, and God can show you something that will change your life forever. What did they see? They saw Moses and Elijah. Let me ask you a question. How did they recognize them? They just knew with their spiritual senses that here was Moses, here was Elijah, and guess what was going on? They were talking to Jesus. Now, they didn't tell you what was said, but I got a pretty good idea what was said. Being a Scotsman, I'm entitled to read between the lines. It's a special privilege God gives us. It says this. In my Bible, I'm going to write it in my own handwriting. Moses said, I represent the law. Jesus said, you don't have to worry, I'm about to fulfill it. And Elijah said, I represent the prophets. And Jesus said, you can relax too, because I'm about to fulfill every single prophecy that's ever been given. I am the one that's going to fulfill it. Amen. You have to see that with spiritual eyes. For you to be changed in the natural, you've got to have a spiritual vision. Whenever I go to these Bible schools and colleges, they have a subject called the life of Jesus Christ. And some places they teach that for 4 years. And it begins with the birth of Jesus, and it ends with the resurrection. Now I find that very strange, because that's not his life. That's when he put on the form of man. Jesus is spirit, did you know that? Now, when you pray and when you talk to Jesus, how do you see him? The man of Galilee? Or that Jew? Or the man of sorrows? The fisherman? The carpenter? What do you see? Here they saw something for the first time they hadn't seen before. They saw something that they'd never seen before. This camp, if you want to be delivered, you've got to get a fresh glimpse of Jesus Christ. You know, they said, you'll never leave this place the way you came. Unfortunately, you may. It's up to you.
That's right.
It's really up to you. Not up to anybody else but you. In fact, to be quite honest, you needn't have come here. You could have stayed in your own kitchen and had a real experience with the Lord. But we're glad you came. Just imagine if I'd come all the way and you weren't here. So I'm glad you're here, but let me give you some information. You'd be a real Scottish, you'd have saved all the travelling expenses. You could have stayed in your own hoose, with your own moose maybe. But God is right there too. You could have got set free, but you first have to catch a vision of whom he is. And here it is. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us. Notice that. Straight away they want to do something. How do you know God is not wanting us to do too much? We're always wanting to do something for God. That comes from the old covenant. The old covenant says, be obedient, do what I say, then I'll bless you. The new covenant says, come and get blessed first, and then you'll be able to live the way I want you to live. Two completely different concepts. So we want to make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Immediately, 3 different denominations. Which one are you going to join? While he yet spake. Poor old Peter, he had the habit of just always putting his foot in his mouth. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. What prevents a bright cloud from overshadowing us? We got too many tabernacles. Before he could get any further with his plans, God said, I better put a stop to that and just let the glory cloud come. When the glory cloud came, then something happened. And behold, a voice out of the cloud. A voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Whenever the glory cloud comes, whenever the presence of God comes, there's always an opportunity to hear Jesus. But you've got to be able to put out people like Peter. when the glory cloud comes, there's always somebody out of order. And you've got to be able to push them back. And you've got to hear the voice that comes from the cloud. And here it is. It says, This is my son, my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And then when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And the result of you and I being in the real presence of the living God is simply this. From now on, we never again want to see man. We want to see Jesus. We want to see him move. We want to see him deliver. We want to see him set people free. We want to hear directly from him. That is the heart's desire. The reason we meet. The problem is we got too many people like Peter coming up with ideas to make things happen. We were going to the kingdom of Swaziland, and the king of Swaziland had been ruling and reigning for about 47 years. And it was obviously getting time for a change. There was going to be a king. He was getting old, a new king coming on. And we decided in the Businessmen's Fellowship, it was about time that we made contact with the government, and we'd go up there and visit with them and talk to them about changing and when the new king came, and they were not all that impressed with us. So we decided to hold a seminar anyway, and we went to the capital city and we arranged the seminar. And a colored brother came to me. Now, when I say colored, that's in our part of the world, that's a mixed race person. He came to me and he said, I feel the Lord is telling me that I should go to Swaziland. Well, he could not read, he could not write, and he could hardly put two words together. And I just knew this was not the fellow to come. Not dealing with diplomats and government, I thought, no. But fortunately for me, I had a legitimate reason. I said, the three cars are totally full. We can't get another person in. But if there's a vacant seat, if somebody cancels, then you're in. And I just prayed, God, never let there be a vacant seat. And we went, and we had a very, very successful time. We led many diplomats to the Lord and many government people. We spent a week and we got on radio and TV. We were able to address the Legislative Assembly. But we never did get to the king. And we never got to the royal palace. We came back to our city. And about 2 weeks later, don't forget, we were rejoicing over all the good things God did with us. Along came my friend. And he said to me, oh, Brother Bob. He said, I just want to come and share with you what God's just done for me in Swaziland. So I said, did you go? Oh, yes. He said, when God told me to go, I knew I had to go. Thank God he wasn't looking to me because he'd have missed it. I said, well, how'd you go? Well, he said, I never knew I needed passports. So when I got to the border post, they wouldn't let me through. I had no visa. I had no South African passport. I had no visa to go. So I said, what'd you do? He said, well, I told the fellow I was representing Jesus and he didn't recognize any border posts. He told me to go to all the world, and so I was just going to walk through. So they laughed at him. They said, when you get to the other side, they'll just send you back anyway. So he walked through this no man's land. By the way, he thumbed a lift all the way to get there. It's called the Ministry of Transport. I think he just... You know, God has some strange people. Well, he gets to this border post on the other side. And he sees a man sitting with his leg like this and a big bucket of steaming water. And he says to him, what's the matter with you? He said, I got this boil on the back of my knee here, and I can't move. And I'm trying to pop it. My friend says, oh, I know how to pop that. Just walked over, put his hands on him and said, Jesus, heal it. Instantaneously, it was gone. Didn't burst, just disappeared. He turned out to be the chief of customs for the whole nation. He says to him, who are you? Don't forget, here's me doing everything my way. Here's a man who has been in contact with Jesus. Amen. The commissioner says to him, where are you going? He says, I'm going to the king. He says, have you got an appointment? No, he said. He said, well, I have a meeting with the king I'll take you with. How do you like that? A man with a boil over a bucket? That's all God needs. God knows how to do it. And that man, this friend of mine, spent 1 week in the royal palace. Me spending all my money with all my schemes and plans, there was just one difference. He'd heard from Jesus, and with me it was just a good idea. Are you hearing me? The part I missed was that God sent me his man, and I looked with my natural eyes at a man and I judged him incorrectly. That's the problem. We do not see with spiritual eyes. You know, all around you, the Bible says we are now surrounded, by a great sea of angels. I'm sure Peter, James, and John were shocked. But let me just read this on. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead. What Jesus was saying, I've let you have a foretaste of what you should be seeing after I have risen from the dead. Many people have never seen spiritually. And as a result, we are not growing spiritually. Those that are led of the Spirit are indeed the sons of God. But it's a spiritual walk. See, Jesus made of himself no reputation. Made himself become a man, if you like. But it was a temporary thing. He's actually spirit. And we have to learn to move in the realm of the spirit. I've got a little bit of... This may be considered heresy by some, so... It's just an interesting thing. It's not scriptural, all right? In the Dead Sea Scrolls... I found this out in Swindon, England. You know, the Dead Sea Scrolls are fragmentary in places. But apparently... there's a recorded conversation, I think it's between Abraham and Adam. And Abraham is asking Adam, where was the garden? Now that always has intrigued me because the Bible says that when they got thrown out the garden, an angel was put at the gate with a fiery sword so nobody could get there. And it says forever. But I can go all over this world and I'll never find a gate and I'll never find an angel with a sword. So my question has always been, where's this garden? In these Dead Sea Scrolls, Abraham asks the very question, apparently, that I've been interested in. And Adam gives an answer. Now, you may not like, don't forget, it's not scriptural, eh? Dead Sea Scrolls. But this is what Adam apparently answered and said. The garden was below the third heaven. When God came in fellowship, apparently, this is my idea, came in fellowship with Adam and Eve, they fellowshipped above the garden in the third heaven. And when they sinned, the gate got closed that we couldn't get in the third heaven. The moment you and I get baptized in the Holy Ghost, that removes the angel and the fiery sword and the gate's there so that you and I can go in fellowship with the Father whenever we want to. I can't go up to my government and tell him, hey, I want to see you. I got to say, may I come? Well, do you have some free time? If I want to go and see Mr. Tony Blair, for instance, I mean, I'm going to have to go through a whole lot of rigmarole to get there. All right? But when it comes to the creator of this whole universe, you know he's got time for Bob Trench? Got time for you? So why are you fiddling around with all these Camerons and Trenches and when you can go straight there yourself? And he said, I'll be there and I'll give you an audience. And if you get into his presence in the spirit realm, let me tell you, you will never be the same. Fear has gone. Apprehension will go from you. The fear of the future will be gone. You understand what I'm saying? That's the reason you have those things coming into you, is simply because you must get close into the presence of the Father, and he'll give you all the assurance and all the guarantees you need. Father, I rebuke that thing and I release her out of it now in Jesus' name. Help her to get in to understand this now, Lord, that she now by faith draws into you. I ask, Lord, that you'd graciously give her a vision of yourself, that she may see you and know you in the Spirit. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. The reason we have these problems is because we don't go to him. And I'm much better when I speak at the back because I'm getting near the door and I can go. And no, they think I've been raptured. How about that one? Okay, then Glenn's going to have to look at his thing again. You look much better from the back, some of you. But, how many understand what I'm trying to talk about? It's a personal relationship with His Majesty, the Lord Jesus Christ. But you've got to understand that He is not the carpenter anymore. They quote that scripture to me where they say, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible does not say that. The Bible says, Jesus, the same. He is not. That word is has been added in some Bibles, and in most it's not there. It's Jesus the same. The same as what? The same attitude, the same love, the same power, the same authority. Jesus is no longer a man of sorrows. Jesus is no longer dusty from walking on the roads. Jesus is seated in power and authority at the right hand of God the Father. And that's who I have the privilege to go and visit any time I want to. I was in a Central African country, and I got into this government building, and we wanted to see the Prime Minister, or the President as he's called there, and you have to bribe your way in. Well, I don't want to do that. So we'd had our field rep there for 2 days, unable to get beyond the secretary who wanted money. And when I arrived there, he said to me, you're going to have to pay to see the president. You're just going to have to. He said, I've done everything. I said, well, let me go and see the secretary. I don't know what I was going to do with it. But as I was going to get into the elevator, something said to me, don't get in the elevator. So I said to the two fellows with me, hold on, don't get in there. And somebody else got in, they went up. I was expecting to come crashing down. Nothing happened. I felt a real Charlie. So when the next elevator came, I got into that and I saw a man running. A black gentleman came running with a attaché case. So I held the door for him, and when he got in, I said to him, if you worked for me, I'd fire you for being late. Well, he kind of ignored me. You know, something worries me when chaps ignore you, especially when you're being radical and difficult. You know, you expect some kind of reaction. But I had a clip-on tie, which was a Five Nations rugby tie from Scotland, when Scotland won that year. I got that tie. So I took this tie off, and he's much bigger than me, and I undid his tie and took it off and gave him this one. In the elevator. He says to me, what are you doing? I said, I'm giving you the best tie you could ever get in your life. And with that, I put his tie on. My people are frozen. He then says to me, who are you? Standard reply, the representative of His Majesty Jesus Christ. He says to me, what are you doing here? I said, we're trying to see the president, but the secretary wants to be bribed for it to happen. I thought we might as well be out in the open with it. He says to me, I'm the Minister of Interior and I have a meeting with him at 9 o'clock and you just come with me. And we got right into the President's office and we spent the whole morning with him. The point I'm saying is, when you know who you've been with, if God does it for me, won't he do it for you? But sometimes we don't go into his presence. What we do is, we take our Bible in the morning, we do our morning reading. Others he saved, yeah, that's good, some of it. Well, that's my 10 minutes up. Now I got to pray. Who should I pray for? Let me think. Oh, there's Billy, always needs prayer. Lord bless, blah, blah, blah. The whole thing's a routine. It don't mean anything. There's nothing makes me more nervous when I'm with a bunch of ministers and they say to me, we're going to have a time of prayer. Because then I always figure they're going to find me out. My prayer life's different. My very best friend is Jesus. Saved me on the soccer field when I was about 16 years of age. And from then I've had a personal relationship with him. And I talk to him as my very best friend. And I can't always pray these wonderful prayers. Oh, Lord, thou knowest. If I did that, the Lord said to me, who are you kidding? See, we misunderstand something. There's a lovely little story told that when our present Queen of England was a princess and a little girl, she had some of her school friends at the palace for an afternoon. And there was all the pictures of all the kings of England, and Princess Elizabeth was telling her friends all about it. And then they came to a picture of Jesus. And her friend said, who's that? And she said, that's my daddy's king in the palace. That's my daddy's king. He did it, my friend is a king. He's the Lord of Lords. But he says, I can come and fellowship with him. I can talk with him. He wants to have some fun with me sometimes. If I tell you some of the things that have happened, and he's never once turned me away. You know, I can go into his presence having done something pretty bad, and he's never banned me from his presence. I mean, I know he's not happy with something I've done, but he never banned me, and he always listens. So let me come back to this. They came down the mountain, and he said, don't tell anyone. And his disciples are asking him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer for them. Now listen, after they've been in the glory cloud, verse 13 tells you something. Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. Once you have been in the glory cloud and you have had your spiritual eyes open, then you begin to understand. Does that make sense to you? I can't make you understand one thing. It has to be the Spirit. I'm going to just, for a few moments, share things a little bit differently this morning. I felt led to share that in view of the scene that went on here today. As this is a deliverance camp, and Thelma and I enjoy coming here, because most places we get to, there's a lot of difficulty over deliverance. Even today, there's still a lot of problems. We got just about thrown out of one group because I asked one man in a meeting, he came up forward, I said, well, what's your problem? He said, I got a demon. I said, how do you know? He says, the demon's telling me to go and kill my mother. So I cast the demon out there, and then the demon came screaming out of him, made a tremendous shindig in his ever so sedate church. And then the pastor said to me, you'll never be here again. I said, why? He said, we do not believe Christians can have demons. I said, well, who said he was a Christian? He said there was a demon, not me. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? But there are different ways to get delivered. The best way to be delivered is not to get taken in the first place. You heard a story about this Sunday school teacher was teaching a Sunday school class how you go about getting forgiven of sins. And she took four Sundays and she taught the way to get your sins forgiven. And the fifth Sunday she decided to ask a question. She said, now I want to find out what you've learned. In this class, who can tell me how do you get your sins forgiven? There was deadly silence. And she was very disappointed that not one in the class knew what to do. And then suddenly little Johnny put his hand up. He said, I know, miss. And she said, Johnny, what do you have to do to get your sins forgiven? He said, well, miss, the first thing is you must sin. If you want to be delivered, the first thing is make sure the devil doesn't get you. I remember when I was boxing, I had a trainer. And he always used to say to me, keep your defense up, keep your defense up, keep your fists up, keep your arms up, keep your arms. He said, drive me crazy, telling me that my job, I thought, I just wanted to hit the other fella. That was I was looking forward to doing. And guess what happened one day? I must have dropped my guard and the fella hit me right down the nose. I tell you, it was a real smacker. Guess what he never had to tell me again? Let me tell you about the devil. If you can beat him to the draw, you're better off than you'll ever be. Are you hearing me? The Bible actually says that we're not ignorant of his ways. If we're not ignorant, then now why do we fall for them all the time? Remember this. There's always free food at the end of a fish hook. Okay? And shortcuts have a nasty habit of becoming the long way around. How many found that out? When the devil offers you a shortcut to something, watch out. He's going to be a long way around. Another thing that you need to know, these are just principles to avoid the devil snaring you. Every Christian is a long-distance runner. We are not sprinters. We're trying to finish the race too soon. It's a long run. Jesus said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. In fact, Jesus had something to say. Watch out for the people that sprout up quickly and grow quickly. You know, we all like to see them grow quickly, but the problem is they don't get any roots sometimes. They die. Rather look for the guy who's going to keep growing and keep growing. That's the guy we've got to look after. If you keep your attention on the tricks of the trade, you'll never learn the trade. Too many people learn the tricks of Christianity. You know there's some tricks in Christianity? I can show you some of them. Very easy. You come like this. Hello, brother.
Hello.
How are you? God bless you. In the meantime, you couldn't care about him anyway. And, good to see you. In the meantime, I couldn't care if I never saw you. Are you hearing me? We're playing a game. And that's the tricks of Christianity. Tricks of Christianity. Watch out for them. When you're tempted to take a shortcut in spirituality, for goodness sake, say no. Say no. Be a man, be a woman, stick to the path that you've started to walk. There's a beautiful little story that illustrates it. There was this lovely bird in the forest, beautiful plumage, sitting on a branch. And a man walked underneath and he had a box. And the bird looked down and said to him, what's in the box? Oh, he said, I'm glad you asked. He said, I've got the most juiciest of worms in this box. He said, well, can I have one? He said, yes, I'll tell you what. You give me a feather and I'll give you a worm. So the bird thought, that's good. Those worms look wonderful. So he took his beak and he pulled out a feather and he let the feather go down. And the chap took a worm and threw it up and he caught the worm. And he thought, that's lovely. Didn't have to work hard for that worm. I just got it. The next day, the same thing happened. The bird got there every day. And week by week, that was a feather and a worm. A feather and a worm. And then one day, the bird couldn't fly. And the bird had no beautiful plumage. And Christians, very often, we get rid of all our glory and all our beauty for worms. The devil's got a box of worms. I want you to know, I've never found anything comes easy in this Christian walk. If you're going to have to pay the price in prayer, alone, discipline. Nowhere does it say it's easy. It was Queen Victoria who said that Christianity has never been tried and found to fail. It was tried and found to be difficult, but never failed. Watch out, you're not selling your beauty. You'd like to just close your eyes a second. Just as I said that, the Spirit of the Lord said to me, there are people here that know you've traded some spiritual blessings and ignored them for things you know have their root in Satan. I'm going to just ask God to give you another chance. But you need to stir it up now. Gird up your mind that you never let that happen again. I want nobody looking for a second. I'm going to just pray for those who say, that's me. I've been duped and I've sold some things that God gave me. And I want those things back that God gave me, and I'm prepared to let go of the worms of Satan. Is that you? Okay. And you? And you? And you? Quite a few. Thank you, Father. You see every hand that's raised up now, and they want what is theirs in the Spirit. And they renounce those tricks and those worms of Satan. And from now on, they're looking to you. And I thank you for that. Satan, you have lost control over these lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You've also got to watch out for compromise. Let me just tell you, that's another major problem. Now, too many Christians are not wanting to offend, so they do nothing and they become nothing. If you don't want to offend, all you've got to do is do nothing. The respect of man is a trap. And the fear of man's opinion is another trap. And yes, probably the most important thing that you need to know. Nobody can make you feel, nobody can make you feel average without your permission. Can I repeat that? If you feel average or below average, that's the opinion you already have of yourself. Let me talk about that. If it wasn't for you, let's just change the subject a little bit. How important are you and I to God? See, when we give testimony, we're always testifying about God and His goodness to us. But when God gives testimony about a man, He does. When He speaks about David, He said, "I found David, a man after my own heart, searching after my heart." Didn't say he had a heart like me. He said he wanted to know my heart. God does give testimony about man. So let me tell you what God would say about you. Everyone in this room, including myself, God says, if it wasn't for you, the Holy Spirit would not have a temple. How many agree with that? That's what the Bible says. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Do you think God's pleased to have His temple? Now, how do you think Jesus feels? If it wasn't for you, Jesus wouldn't have a body. Am I right? If it wasn't for you, God wouldn't have children. The Bible says in Corinthians or thereabouts, somewhere around there in the New Testament, maybe I should be a bit more exact. It says we are God's inheritance. He inherited us. And He knew He was going to inherit us. And He's very pleased with us. But we, for some reason, are not pleased with ourselves. Now, I try to agree with God. I say, God, I'm so pleased You chose me. I'm very happy to be Your temple. I'm very happy to be in Your body. I'm very happy to be Your child. In fact, I rejoice in that. I can drive my car and I just say, Shita Barasandi, Kira Barasandi, especially in Durban. I wind the window down. So when I pull up at a stop street, I look, the guy's like, Shita Barasandi, Kira Barasandi, and off he goes. And then I have a clear ride. Now, because I'm God's child and God's temple and the body of Christ, doesn't mean to say I have obstacles. But every obstacle will introduce a person to himself. How many got obstacles here today? May I see? You've got a problem facing you. The problem's not a problem. It's how are you going to respond to it is the real issue. Another thing about an obstacle or a problem, it'll never leave you the way it found you. You agree with that? So it's up to you whether you want to be better off for it or worse off for it. Now, I'll tell you, if your mother-in-law comes and stays with you for 6 weeks, you'll never be the same. Whether you be better off or not, I don't know. That's up to you. Remember, Israel had that problem with Goliath. They took one look at this big guy and they said, man, he's too big to tangle with. David took one look at him and said, man, he's so big you can't miss him. Same problem. Same problem, isn't it? I'm talking deliverance here. How many know that what Israel needed right there was what? Deliverance from whom? Goliath. Deliverance came because one man looked differently to the rest of Israel. It's how you look at things is the beginning of deliverance. We were in Hawaii once at a John Whitler's meeting, and I was ministering, and I don't know really what happened in the meeting. Just everything went wrong at first. The pianist took his fists and banged the keys in temper. And whatever that was wrong, two women were singing in the spirit like this. And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, go and stop them. And I went, stop them. I said, what are you doing? They said, worshipping. I said, worshipping whom? They said, the Lord. I said, the Lord what? The Lord Buddha in charismatic meetings. Things are not always what you think they are. And when we got those two dealt with, then everything exploded in the meeting. We had one man stood up and took the table with all the breakfast cups and just threw it on the floor. He went, phew, like that. I don't know who paid for the broken cups, but how many know that meeting was a deliverance meeting like you cannot imagine? Why? Because God helped me graciously and said, there's something wrong with them. Now, I could have just as easily, they look like anybody else, do what any, you know how those people can sway. Ooh, I don't know how they do it. Not being musical, I don't know how they do it, but they do it. But she's worshipping the Lord Buddha. And around her, I presume other people are worshipping Jesus on, you know. What I'm trying to say is just because you're with a whole crowd of Christians, don't let your guard down. Don't let your guard down. And watch out for some of the teaching that comes out. And watch out when you're in some of these meetings. You must always have your defense up. Where are we? I'll finish. I've just about got a few moments to go. I want to finish with a little story about Jesus. I've called it Fishing on the Right Side in John 21. What I've liked about Peter is that he always remained in business. He never let his business go to wreck and ruin. He kept that going. And I often advise ministers, get into a business. So if something goes hopelessly wrong in the church, you can go back to your business and you can protect your family. That they don't carry the burden of a church split and a breakup and everything. You've got something else on the go. Well, here was Peter. And he was obviously very upset. Jesus had up and gone and left him. And so he says to his friends, I don't know about you, but I'm going fishing. And if you look it up in the Greek, it says, I'm permanently going back to fishing. And they said, we're going with you. Well, you got half a dozen or more of them, and they all went on a boat. Now, it says they went fishing immediately. So you know that that boat was in good shape. You couldn't have left it for 3.5 years and then just go fishing. So we know that his business was operating. Now, they worked all night, it says, and they caught nothing. Then there's somebody on the seashore who says to them, what you got? There's nothing worse than when you've been fishing and you got nothing, then they ask you what you got. It's frustrating. But they answered and said, we haven't caught anything. Notice they didn't even recognize who it was. And remember what we read here in Matthew. He said, don't tell anybody until after the death. They won't understand. Have you ever noticed that it's strange that the very friends of Jesus didn't recognize him after resurrection? You know why? Because they were looking with their natural eyes. But right after the resurrection, you've got to begin to look with your spiritual eyes. So here he says to them, he says, I want you to throw the nets on the other side, on the right side of the ship. Now the ship is about 4 paces. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's the width of the ship. If I had been Peter, I would have said to that landlubber, get lost. What's the difference which side of the ship we throw the net down on? I mean, after all, it's the same water. It's the same nets. It's the same time. Nothing has changed. But something strange, it says that as tired as they were, they took the nets and they dropped them down on the other side. And immediately the fish jumped in. The Bible says there were 153 large fish. That's when many people believe that there's 153 nations are going to be swept into the gospel just before Christ comes. But 153 big fish. Then they had trouble bringing it into the shore. There were so many. And I'm told that it was equivalent to 2.5 years turnover in one night they got. But when Peter saw the results, then he said, that is the Master. He didn't recognize him with a spiritual eye, with his natural eye, but his natural eye could see what? The only thing your natural eye can do for you in the gospel is to see the results. But you better first see spiritually. God came, notice how Jesus did it. He cooked the fish, he did everything, gave them to eat. But what changed on board ship? It was the same crew, the same experience, the same knowledge, the same waters, the same boat, the same computers, if you like, whatever depth, whatever they used in those days, nothing changed except one thing. He spoke. You know what will change for you this morning? If you let him speak to you. You don't want to hear from me. You just want God to speak to you. Before I do any deliverance and before I pray for anybody, I like the scripture in Timothy where it says this. You need to instruct those who are their own worst enemies so that they may escape from the snare of the devil. Before I pray and pray and pray of a storm, I believe sometimes it's far better to give some instruction. It's in 2 Timothy 2:26. If it's not there, ask Glenn. He knows exactly where it is. You need to instruct those who are their own enemies. How many of you admit that you're your own problem? Lack of unbelief, your lack of belief, no, not enough love, not enough commitment, and all those kind of things. We could just enumerate them. Then you need some instruction. And I'd like to believe this morning, in some simple way, you've received some instruction. The obstacles that you face are stepping stones for you if you have the right vision. If you want to see the results with your natural eye, you better first begin to see with a spiritual eye. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. It's maybe a bit personal to some of you. Who has never had a spiritual idea or perception of Jesus Christ? It's always just been here in your thinking and in your mind, but you've never really, with your spiritual eye, caught a kind of a glimpse of Jesus. Are there any that would say that's me? Oh, I see all over it, quite a few. You know why that happens? Because we're all conforming to one another's standards. We read a book on this, and then we read this scripture, then we go to this meeting, and we go to that meeting, and it ends up we're not following Jesus, we're trying to follow all this information. God is not looking for people that are brimming with information. He's looking for people that are willing, not brimming, willing. I'm sure in this place you're brim full of knowledge. But now he says, I want you to be willing to enter into this glory cloud we were singing about. Now, how do you do that? Very simple. You say, Lord, I'm your child, and you begin to agree with God. I am your body. I'm a member of your body. I am your temple. And because of you, this is where I stand. And you begin to make confession. You know, confession. In Hebrews it says, do not refuse him that speaketh from above. Refuse means rebel against him. You say, I never rebel against Jesus. Well, maybe you have. And he's saying, I want you to come and agree with me. Do you know that as you begin to agree with God, because God never changes, so we have to change, we agree with God, then his presence begins to come. And we've got a few moments just to do that. And maybe we should just sing, Oh, How I Love Jesus, would be a good place to start. Would you like to come and help me with that? And we're just going to do a little experiment here. Some of you have never spoken in tongues. Some have never felt the presence of the Lord. Some have never had a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, or a prophecy. Maybe it'll just begin to happen today. Just begin to happen today. All right? Kira barasandi, shikira barasandi, kira dadabarasandi, kira barasandi. It's not according to man's wisdom or man's knowledge. It's not according to which way the wind blows and where it comes and where it goes. It's not for you to figure out and analyze. It is for you to receive. And this morning you shall receive. Fear not, for I do not give bricks. I do not give poison, saith the Lord. I give that which is sweet and nourishing and cleaning and cleansing and purifying. And you shall be purified this day. And there will be no more fantasies. There will be no more wild imaginings as you draw close unto me. Learn of me. And you shall walk in the way I lead and direct you. Kita barasandi, shi kita barasandi.
Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I love you.
Sing it quietly now. Just sing it quietly. See him in all his glory at right hand of God the Father, praying for you this morning. He says, I'm interceding for you. Now you need to thank him that he first loved you.
Oh, I
Ask God to reveal himself to you today.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Praise be to God. I bless you. In the name of Jesus Christ, be blessed this morning. May you begin to see him at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for you in Jesus' name. May you ask God. How would you like to sing that in the Spirit? Everyone, if you've never sung in the Spirit before, here's your turn. You ready? Let's go.
Oh, she be glory on.
Everybody joining in. Unity now. All one in the Spirit. Trusting God. Just let it roll out of you now. Just sing now. Sing. Just sing. Come on. You can do it. Come on. Come on. You heard what I've been talking about. You've been trying to hide, and God said, I must come to you. God's called you. Don't worry about people. You have to deal with God this morning. Every time you resist him, it gets a little bit harder. Each time. You're going to have to learn to do that. Who sang in the Spirit for the first time in their life this morning? May I see you?
Yeah.
Anyone else?
You.
Okay. Who has not yet sung in the Spirit? I know one there, and he's not going to admit it. Okay. Did you sing? Okay. How'd you feel about that? That's one thing. Now, we'll do one more time. But this time, your attitude must be this. I want to see something spiritual. All right? This is not a meeting. This is not a church meeting. This is where we're trying to see that we reach out, touch the hem of his garment. You may need healing. You may need victory. But it only comes when you can really see who he is. We're going to sing it one more time. But your heart attitude is, God, I want to see you as you really are. Seated at the right hand of God, with all the majesty and the authority. Let everybody sing now. Let's go. Spirit of fear. stand steady for a moment. If you can see and begin to grasp the glory and the majesty and the power and the authority that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you cannot have fear and unbelief and doubt, neither should you be of double-mindedness. We sing that one more time for you to say, Lord, I release everything. Everything that's not of you, I want it to be gone. I'm releasing it. And I'm receiving more of you than I've ever had before. Take somebody by the hand as we close in prayer. Will you do that? Father, we acknowledge this morning that we need more of you. We need to have the eyes and of the heart of our understanding open that we might catch a real, honest to goodness glimpse of you. That we may have understanding and we long to see the natural eyes, all the good things that you've done. But help us, Lord, to continue through this camp to draw closer and closer to you. I thank you, Father, that every meeting will be blessed through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I want to thank you for listening. I've enjoyed sharing with you. And God bless you. Thank you. Thanks, Paul. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jesus. I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. want your glory, Lord, more than anything else. I want your glory, Lord, more than life itself. I want to feel your touch down in my soul. Your Holy Spirit in control, I hunger for, I want your glory, Lord. I want your glory, Lord, more than anything else. I want your glory, more than life itself. Oh yes, I want to feel your touch down in my soul. Your Holy Spirit in control, I hunger for, I want your glory, Lord. Sing it from your heart. I want your glory, Lord, the glory of His presence. I want your glory, Lord, more than anything else. Oh, I want your glory, Lord, more than life itself. I want to feel your touch down in my soul, your Holy Spirit in control. I hunger for, I want your glory, Lord. I was driving down the highway one time. I said to the Lord, Lord, I don't want to have another service without your glory, without your presence. I've had many services, thousands of services. And I've had some without His glory. And nobody's happy. People go home empty. I go home unhappy. Preacher goes home unhappy. Nobody's blessed. It's the presence of the Lord that brings the blessing. And I was driving up behind and I said, Lord, I don't want to have another service without your glory. And the thought came to me when Moses prayed, you know, if your presence go not with me, don't take me to that howling wilderness with that bunch of stiff-necked Jews. But you know what the Lord said to Moses? My presence shall go with you. I felt the Lord saying to me too, if you want my glory, you can have my glory. I'm not talking about the glory of His presence, the glory of His majesty. That belongs to Him. I'm talking about that glory, the presence of the Lord. I want your glory, Lord. I'll tell you what, I feel the glory cloud in here this morning. Sing it. I want your glory more than anything else. I want your glory, Lord, more than life itself. Pretty strong phrase. I want to feel your touch down in my soul. Your Holy Spirit in control. I hunger for, I want your glory, Lord. I want your glory, Lord, more than anything else. Oh, I want your glory, Lord, more than life itself. I want to feel your touch. I want to feel your touch down in my soul. Your Holy Spirit in control. I hunger for, I want your glory, Lord. From the heart now, well, I want your glory, Lord, more than anything else. Your glory, Lord, more than
myself.
I want to feel your touch.
I want to feel your touch down in my soul. Your Holy Spirit in control. I hunger for, I want your glory, Lord.
Sing it one more time.
I want your glory, Lord, more than anything else. I want your glory, Lord, more than life itself. Oh, yes. I want to feel your touch down in my soul. Your Holy Spirit in control. I hunger for, I want your glory, Lord. Oh, I hunger for, I want your glory, Lord. Well, I hunger for, I want your glory, Lord. Welcome, Holy Spirit. I stand here in your presence. Fill me with your power. Live inside of me. Oh, welcome, Holy Spirit. I stand here in your presence. Fill me with your power. Live inside of me. You're the living water. Well, you're the living water. Ever-flowing fountain. Ever-flowing fountain. Comforter and counselor. Comforter and counselor. Come and take control. Come and take control. Welcome, Holy Spirit. I stand here in your presence. Fill me with your power. Live inside of me. You're the living water. Well, you're the living water. Ever-flowing fountain. Comforter. Control. Welcome, Holy Spirit. I stand here in your presence. Fill me with your power. Live inside of me. Live inside of me. Live inside of me.
Hallelujah. This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.